What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
You can watch kids grow from the scrawny freshman to the senior who's now the team leader. The stories are always there, and they're unique. I always thought that they were more telling than any story you could get out of a professional game. And that's kind of been my mantra, so to speak, is that everyone has a story, and it's my job to tell it.
And our guest this week is Kevin Minnick. He is the senior high school sports reporter for NJ.com, does a great job covering all kinds of high school sports throughout South Jersey. And Kevin, thanks for coming in.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So as we are recording this, very early May, what's your main focus?
Right now we're baseball, with April now finally turning to May. The weather gets a little bit better, so now we're going to have a lot more competitive games. And we're getting into the stretch where now teams are gearing up for the postseason. So this is kind of a big month for high school baseball.
Once baseball is over, do you get a little reprieve until football starts, or is there enough going on, you know, with AAU, summer league, stuff like that, that you will just pivot to that?
No, I get a little bit of break. I take a lot of my off time in the summer, but I will still do basically probably a project or two. And then when August 1st kind of kicks in, football season takes over. You know, football is king, at least in New Jersey. High school football is king, and it never really ends. It's really a year-round thing, but, you know, we'll gear up for the start of the season in the first week of August, because by the time you get to it, even before Labor Day, we're playing games. So the break is not a lot, but it's enough to kind of take a little time off, reduce a little bit, and then we get right back into it for the next 9 months.
I am sure there is not an average day, but like this week or next week, let's say, you're covering baseball, you're focusing on baseball. Kind of take us through the journey of your work day. You know, how does it start for the most part? Where are you going? Is a lot of it on the phone? How much are you writing? How much are you, like, at games? Like, can you break it down generally to how it works?
Yeah, I mean, being in the media is not a 9-to-5 job. It never has been. It never will be. But basically, I'd probably start, maybe flip the computer on 10:30 in the morning. There's usually some form of a call, whether it's with other guys I cover baseball with, or it's a staff meeting, whatever it may be. Generally, there's a call in the morning. We have daily responsibilities that we do. Every day of the week, we'll have certain set items. So I'm working on those. I'm working on, even if I haven't completed the one for the day, I'm working on the one for the next day. I'm updating stats. I'm doing photo assignments. And then basically, I look down and it's 3 o'clock and I'm usually ready to go out the door. So the next, I don't know, 3 to 4 hours will encompass going to, covering, and coming back from a game. And then, you know, writing that up, wrapping that up, and taking a look at the scores for the day, look at the rest of what happened in the state. And next thing I know, it's 11 o'clock. So it's not a normal 8-hour day per se. It's usually a little longer than that. But, you know, it's not a physically draining job. It can get you a little bit mentally after a while, because you're doing the same things and you're working putting in a lot of hours, and you're working weekends. You know, games, there's showcase events, there's things happening on Saturdays and Sundays. Well, you can't just brush them off because it's Saturday or Sunday. So I really never have a quote unquote weekend. So we're looking at 8-hour days during the school year, pretty much every day, but at least 6 days a week.
What is your coverage area? Is it pretty much like Trenton South?
I'm the South Jersey guy. So I'm basically looking at the traditional seven county South Jersey region. In essence, I'd say from Bordentown, Bordentown down, maybe Trenton during football season. But for the most part, we're looking at Bordentown all the way down to Cape May. So, and that's my responsibility only, baseball and basketball. I share that responsibility with someone else during football season. But that's my region. I'm responsible. It's close to 100 schools. I'd say it's probably about a quarter of the state, but it can be daunting to try to give everybody a little bit. Certain schools are obviously, and certain teams are going to get more than others. It's just the nature of it. But I do try to hit as many schools at least one time with something during the course of a year.
Growing up, did you always want to be a sports writer?
No. My story with that, when I graduated from high school, I was fully intent to become a lawyer. I went to the University of Maryland as a pre-law student. First semester, I had a roommate, Frank Isola, who, if people don't know, I mean, he's covered the Mets. He's kind of a big shot up in the New York area and national media. And he was my roommate. And he was working for the student newspaper. And I'm watching him and I'm like, he's having too much fun. In high school, my English classes were pretty good. I never really thought of myself as an exceptional writer, but I saw this as an opportunity to kind of get back into sports, because sports had always been something that I was involved with. And I'm looking around and seeing the opportunities that the University of Maryland Journalism School presented. Traded my major from pre-law into the journalism school, and then 3.5 years later, graduated a degree in journalism, and I was on my way.
Ever have any regrets about leaving the law behind?
Leaving the law behind, no. But I've often been told, especially by my wife, that I might have been a pretty good teacher. Dealing with kids like I have for almost 40 years now, I relate to these kids, and I want to say they keep me young, so to speak. And I had in the past had some free time, and I had done some substitute teaching here and there, and it was something that I kind of enjoyed. So if there is one regret, maybe it's the fact that going back, maybe I should have got into teaching.
So you graduate from the University of Maryland, I think, in 88?
Yeah, in 88. I was at Maryland the 2 years before and the 2 years after the death of Lenny Bias. So that's kind of when people talk about Maryland, and I wear Maryland stuff all the time. That's kind of how I reference when I was there. Some people understand what that 4 years were like, given the situation that happened. Others, I have to explain it to. But yeah, it was a pretty good time.
What's your onboard to professional journalism?
Got a job right out of college. Most people, that doesn't happen. I was kind of lucky. It was a small county paper, but the editor there actually had knew my father from my father umpiring baseball games. And had always asked, how's Kevin doing and what's he doing? And my dad said, well, he's getting into writing, into journalism. Oh, well, let me know when he's done. I sent my resume, sight unseen, I had a job.
What paper was it?
At that time, it was called Today's Sunbeam. And it was the Salem County paper, which was actually owned by the Star-Ledger's Corporation at the time. And I was there for a few years worked out of that office just a little bit, but mainly out of the office in Woodbury with the Gloucester County Times. They were kind of sister papers. So I worked at the Sunbeam for just a couple of years, and I moved on to the Times from after that.
High school, right out of the gate as far as what you covered?
Yeah, high school was fit. I remember my first story I wrote for the Sunbeam was a story on Chris Widger, went to Pennsville, ultimately.
Along with this podcast.
Okay. Ultimately got himself a ring with the Chicago White Sox. I started out there, and it was a good experience. It was a good experience. I did some things nice. I did some things wrong that I learned from. But it gave me an opportunity to kind of grow and, obviously then take further steps along the line to where I'm at now.
Was there a first story, a first lead, a first interview that you were like, yep, this is it. This is scratching the itch I need. This is what I'm going to do.
To be honest with you, I really don't remember. I do remember the first story I ever wrote for the university's newspaper. Nothing to do with sports. Had to do with the university shutting down one of the dining halls with its snack program late at night. But I think doing high school sports was something I've kind of really grown to enjoy. I've done professional sports. I mean, I've covered a PGA. I've covered a U.S. Open in golf. I covered the Phillies in the World Series, and I know where I'm at in the auxiliary press box in left field when Joe Carter hit the home run. I see myself every time I see that highlight. So I've had an opportunity to kind of do all levels, did college stuff. I remember covering Shaquille O'Neal's first game against the Sixers and, in all honesty, just blowing that assignment. I got so wrapped up with watching Shaquille O'Neal that I really didn't do what I was supposed to do that night. But, you know, after that, doing more high school stuff and really becoming ingrained in high school sports in South Jersey with the Gloucester County Times and then with the Courier Post and now with NJ.com, you know, to me, it's I enjoy it a lot more than I really ever did covering pro stuff or even college stuff for that matter. There's a new cycle. You get new kids every 4 years. You can watch kids grow from the scrawny freshman to the senior who's now the team leader. The stories are always there, and they're unique. And I always thought that they were more telling than any story you could get out of a professional game. And that's kind of been my mantra, so to speak, is that everyone has a story, and it's my job to tell it. Sometimes people will reach out with those ideas. Other times you have to kind of dig around a little bit. But high school kids, you know, they'll say anything. And they're not, and a lot of times they're not very guarded. So you can get a lot of good material, so to speak, from that and really develop stories and tell stories, you know, that I think resonate a lot more with parents and obviously with schools and teachers and coaches along those lines. And, it's just something that I've really grown to love. You know, I would say one of my mentors, so to speak, was Phil Anastasia, who not only worked at the Courier, but at the Inquirer as well. And he had covered his years of pro stuff too and came back to high schools. And high school was something that he really loved. And I've kind of taken that, what he did, taken that to heart as well.
Do you have a favorite sport to cover? Just the sport itself, regardless of the schools or the players?
It's always been baseball. I know football is king. I love football too and basketball as well. But there's just something about baseball that I've always gravitated to. I never played high school baseball. You know, I got cut as a freshman, and that was basically it. But I've always loved baseball. I coach my kids. I'm out. I don't know how many games I'll end up covering this season by the time it's over with. I'd say probably better than 50 games in a 2.5 month span. But it's just baseball that I've really enjoyed. I mean, I know professional baseball, they're trying to pick it up, the pace, and institute different things to do so. But there's still that aspect of baseball being timeless, and it's just something that I've always really enjoyed.
How long did it take you to really get your arms around who's good, you know, what schools you're going to pay attention to in different seasons? Just because, you know, like you said, it's like 100 schools. That's a lot to keep track of. And I'm sure at this point in your career, it's just all cataloged, like, okay, this is the rivalry to watch here. This will happen, that will happen. But I would imagine that took a while to really, really get your arms around.
Yeah. You know, when I started out working at a county paper, my focus was on a very limited number of schools. But I'd say over the last almost 25 years, it's gravitated to the full thing. People will ask me in the middle of football season what I think the top teams will be in baseball. And my answer to them is I'm in football season now. Talk to me in a couple of months. But it usually takes me 2-3 weeks at the start of every season to get a really good idea of what I would call the pretenders and the contenders. There's going to always be the usual suspects year in and year out, because I've told people there are schools that produce athletic programs and there are schools that produce athletic teams. And you know the difference between the two. So when I started out, it took a little while, but you know, after I'd say probably 2-3 years, and you kind of know the kids by now, you've seen them mature from freshmen, sophomores to junior seniors, you get an idea of what's going on. And yeah, I mean, it's nowadays it doesn't take me very long. I just kind of need to get out of one mode and into the other. And that takes, like I said, maybe 2 weeks or so, get an idea. I get an idea what's going on. Those teams are getting an idea of what their identities are after a couple of weeks, and we move from there. So baseball season right now, I'm locked in. I know who's who. And even though from time to time I scratch my head when I see the result of a game, like, you know, I can't comprehend how this A lost to B. and then B beat C, but C lost to A, and that whole triangle and stuff. But no, I think I have a pretty good grasp on the teams that I cover, even with it being, you know, close to 100 teams.
We need to take a break. We will have more with Kevin Minnick in just a few moments. But right now, I want to remind you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to drive smarter with high-tech features and excellent reliability. It's time for intelligent design plus exciting performance. Get a new vehicle you'll love. Check out the Honda Civic Accord or HRV. Contact your local Honda dealer today. See dealer for financing details. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with Kevin Minnick, senior high school sports reporter for NJ.com.
Who are some of the best athletes you've covered in your career, regardless of sport, regardless of school?
I mean, I've seen a lot. I mean, I covered Mike Trout, Zach Gallen, Phillies' Buddy Kennedy, Tyler Phillips, baseball. For football, I covered a kid by the name of Kevin Harvey from Paulsboro. He went on and played at Temple. Kevin Harvey was and pretty much remains the best high school athlete I've ever seen. You know, people will say, well, you know, Mike Trout's done this and basketball guys, you know, DeJuan Wagner and DJ Wagner have done that. But I saw Kevin Harvey do things in high school that at the time just blow your mind. You know, that was back, I want to say, mid to late 90s. You know, here's a kid who led his team to a 64-1 record in four South Jersey championships. There were not state championships in football at that time. But the things that he did were just mind-blowing. The closest person that comes to that right now is a kid who just graduated from Millville and Lotzier Brooks, who'll be a freshman at Alabama and probably see the field, you know, in the fall. But you go back and you pick out any of the, really any of the greats from South Jersey in the last 30 years, and I've seen him play. I mean, DeJuan Wagner was an absolute monster on the basketball court. Just brutally strong, could do anything he wanted. And I remember another kid that went to Shawnee, Chris LaPierre, football player, lacrosse player, phenomenal in both sports and a great kid. You know, I've seen some really great high school kids go on to do great things. And at the same time, I've seen kids who are just really good high school athletes who went on to play at a Division III school, or go play at a Shippensburg or a Frostburg State or a Division III, Division II program. But they were really good high school athletes. So in my estimation, you know, people will say, well, how can the guys who went pro got to be the best? Not necessarily true. I think high school sports presents an opportunity to see a range of different talents that go on to different levels. Some don't even go on to the next level. But I can say I've seen my fair share of some really good, really good kids.
How has the job changed over your career as far as the focus? And I don't mean sports, but I mean, like, you know, when you start, it's obviously all print. And now, you know, I don't want to say the print is the afterthought, but with social media and video, like everything, you just have to weave what used to be your complete focus is now just a piece of the pie. How has it changed over the years?
Yeah, no, print, from my perspective, print is dead. It's dead in New Jersey. I know that there are outlets that do put out print products, but if you look at them, they cost a lot more, and it's day-old, two-day-old material. So from when I started to now, that's obviously, I think, to me, that's the biggest change. The fact that print is absolutely dead. And we started to see that happen a few years, you know, I'd say maybe going back 10 years, maybe a little less than that, but we could see the development starting. You know, when I started out, the computer I used was a Tandy Radio Shack computer, and you had to put couplers onto a phone. And for me to say, explain to that to someone nowadays, they have no idea what I'm talking about. Technology has obviously changed through the years. When it was print, my days were a little bit more structured because I didn't have to do certain things during the day because there was no internet. They were just going to print and you had to meet the print deadline later in the day, early evening. But right now, you know, with the changes, basically events that we cover, we're trying to get material out as soon as possible. Most of the time within an hour. So I'm covering events now where if I'm handling the game, the box score, I take my own pictures sometimes. I like to do that a little bit more often. You know, the coverage of the game itself, all that, used to be able to go to the game, stop and get something to eat, go to the office, type it up, be done by 10, you're done. Now it's, you know, boom, pretty much game's over. I got what I need. I'm sitting in the car, and within an hour, I'm done. And then I move on to the next thing. So I think, you know, that's probably the biggest change right now.
Was it a conscious decision on your part that South Jersey high school sports, this is where I'm going to plant my flag? Or was it kind of one of those things where you're doing it for 5 years, I really enjoy it, and you mentioned you get some shots at doing pro stuff. But was there a point where you were like, this is what I'm going to do to the finish line? Or was it just more you enjoyed it, you were good at it, one season rolls into the next, and you look around and, wow, I can't believe I've been here that long?
That's one way to look at it. You know, I look back and, shoot, it's been, I think, 37 years. But, you know, it does nowadays, it just kind of does roll season into the next, season into the next. I never really – there were times when I tried to look around. Back earlier when I was probably in my late 20s, early 30s, it was tough to get a job. It was difficult to get a writing job in the print media. And I don't think at that point I was going to move. I really didn't look elsewhere. I may have looked in North Jersey. I may have looked Delaware, maybe into PA, you know, a couple of times, but nothing really ever developed. And I was in a position where no one ever, and maybe I want to say no one ever in upper management ever pulled me in and said, you got to do this, this, and this. So my philosophy kind of thought was always, well, if no one's telling me that I'm doing a bad job, then I must be doing okay. So I kind of stuck with it. Once I got married and had my kids, I mean, we're very family oriented, and you know, our families for the most part are here, even though I've extended family in other countries and other regions of the country. But to move was never a thought. And you know, once I had put in some significant time at the Gloucester County Times and was offered a job at the Courier Post, I snapped at the opportunity. And at that particular time, the Courier or the Philadelphia Inquirer was pretty much the two places that if you wanted to stay around here and you wanted to take that jump and make an advancement in your career, they were the places to go. Got into the Courier. I had known all the guys at the Courier because I'm at the same things with all of these guys all the time. Settled in right there, and I never really looked back. I mean, I've never, like I said, other than maybe wanting to be a teacher X number of years ago, I've never really looked to do anything else.
What do you consider some of the best rivalries in South Jersey?
There's Gloucester Catholic. There's Vineland Millville, Ocean City Mainland. There's other rivalries that have developed in certain sports over the last couple of years, the Gloucester Catholic St. Augustine. These rivalries, they just don't like each other. These schools, you know, you can clearly see there is no love lost between programs when you're at games. The trash talk and the chirping between teams, the way they get after each other. From that aspect, there are some really bitter rivalries. And then Woodbury-Paulsboro, Woodbury-West Deptford, you know, that little triangle, because they're all small schools and they're within shouting distance of each other. So they're probably the bigger ones that jump out at me right off the chart.
What do you think makes South Jersey sports special?
I think it's the fact that maybe at times South Jersey has kind of taken a back seat to North Jersey. Obviously, North Jersey is far more densely populated, far more kids, far more schools. And I think South Jersey always had this younger brother mentality that, you know, they were going to be take the back seat to the North. And I think that's changed in the last 10, 20 years. For me, it's the fact that there's always that cycle of kids. There's always new kids coming in that have different stories to be told. And, you know, and they're passionate about what they do. You know, it's very difficult to tell a parent that gymnastics or field hockey doesn't equate to baseball and football, because that parent may not necessarily care about baseball or football because their kids play hockey, gymnastics, they bowl. So I think the people in South Jersey are passionate about the sports that they play, and they want those sports, they basically want their sports to be kind of taken on the same level as those that are traditionally more popular. So I think that, you know, that's a kind of a tough question to really dive into. But I think the biggest thing is that there's a level of passion, you know, that these kids have and these schools have to want to produce winning programs, want to get the best out of their kids that they can, and ultimately, you know, send those kids off to college, whether they're going to play a sport or not.
Favorite part of the job?
I guess it's probably the relationships that I've developed through the years. The fact that I can call a guy who's a basketball coach and say anything I want and get information from. You know, my wife always says I don't have a lot of friends, but, you know, and I should get out and play more golf, or I should get out and do more things. But I think the friends that I've developed over the years through this are some of the friends that I will ultimately keep and have for the rest of my life.
Kevin Minnick, thanks so much for coming in. This was great.
I appreciate it. Thanks again.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Kevin Minnick, senior high school sports reporter for NJ.com, for being our guest this week and coming in studio to talk. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.